Hello, friends. It's the Environment Show, and welcome. The Clinton-Gore transition team has chosen Carol Browner to head the EPA. The Secretary of Environmental Regulation in Florida, Browner has already received wide and genuine praise. Also, with the changing of the guard, concern rises over the recently signed North American Free Trade Agreement. Will Bush hobble it? Will Clinton change it? And Dr. Henk Vollmer from the Netherlands shares one secret to Europe's economic success over the U.S. in many markets.
It's much cheaper and much more efficient from an economic point of view to prevent than to clean up afterwards.
The Environment Show is a national production made possible by Hemmings Motor News, the national Bible of the old car hobby, monthly from Bennington, Vermont, and by the J.M. Kaplan Fund of New York. And this is Bruce Robertson.
I'm delighted today to announce the appointment of Carol Browner, the Secretary of the Environment for the state of Florida, as Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency.
President-elect Bill Clinton, piecing together his cabinet and staff, has chosen Carol Browner to head up the Environmental Protection Agency. Making the announcement in Little Rock, Clinton noted that Browner has been able to walk the hazardous line between environmental protection and industrial growth in Florida.
I wanted her to take this job from the first time we discussed these issues because she understands what the EPA is supposed to do, but she also knows, in a way that I know, what it's like to be governed by the EPA and how awful it can be when it is done wrong. What it is like to see an agency take two contradictory positions at the same time and put the heat on the states and the private sector. What it is like to see the EPA take one position, then another, and then another. There are serious, serious problems facing this country in the environmental area. But I believe that in the end, a heavy majority of the American people understand that our future depends on maintaining a sustainable environment, on conserving our resources, on solving our problems, and that in doing that, we can create economic opportunity. That is the central argument that Bill Clinton and Al Gore made in their campaign. Carol Browner has lived out that argument with real distinction as Secretary of the Environment in the state of Florida.
Formerly an aide to Senator and now Vice President-elect Al Gore, Browner was appointed to the Florida post by Governor Lawton Chiles. Browner was clearly delighted to accept the higher calling.
I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to serve at a time when environmental protection and restoration will finally receive the attention and commitment it deserves. When we will finally move away from the trade-off and the debate that we have focused on for far too long between jobs and the environment towards a sustainable economic future. And I believe that that will now be possible, that we will be able to make the investment in our economy that we so desperately need, yet preserve the air, land, and water.
So what do you think about this appointment to the Federal Environmental Protection Agency?
Well, we're pretty excited about having Carol Browner in this type of position.
Teresa Woody, Southeast Associate Field Representative for the Sierra Club based in West Palm Beach, Florida. Woody says she has known Browner for many years now and has mixed reactions.
Frankly, it's a loss for Florida. It's a real gain for the United States. Carol has a real commitment to strong environmental protection, and yet she has the type of sharp legal mind that allows her to understand what government can do and what we can't do.
What do you make of President-elect Clinton's remark during that press conference that Browner knows what it is like to be on the receiving end of EPA bureaucracy?
Well, as Secretary of EPA, Carol Browner will be able to really negotiate perhaps better with the states. The EPA hands off a lot of power and a lot of authority to the states for administering various programs, and that, I believe, is what President-elect Clinton was referring to. And so as a former state-level Secretary of Environmental Regulation, she understands the working relationship between the states and the federal government as we struggle to protect our environment in this country.
Talk to us a little bit about what you know of Secretary Browner's environmental record in Florida. One of the reasons I understand that she was picked has to do with some prior commitments and prior involvement with Senator Gore. But what is her environmental record itself?
We've been pretty pleased with the type of integrity that Carol Browner has brought to the Department of Environmental Regulations. When she took office here in Florida, one of her two first public pronouncements was that she is an environmentalist and that she sees her clients with the Department of Environmental Regulation as the people of Florida. That was a decided shift from the previous administration, who had gone on record publicly as saying that he saw his clients as the development community in this state. That shift, coupled with Carol's openness to public input, helping the public have access to her to help her set the agenda for environmental protection of the state, she hosted several forums where people were able to just meet Carol and brief her on their concerns on what they think she should be addressing for environmental protection for Florida. And that also, that openness is unprecedented. We expect that type of vision to continue as she takes the helm at the national level for environmental protection.
Florida is in many ways a microcosm of the best and the worst of our environmental problems. What are some of the specifics of Browner's record?
Ms. Browner has brought to Florida a real commitment to protect the fragile wetlands in our state. We've lost over 53% of our wetlands. A commitment to protect Everglades National Park, one of the 10 most endangered parks in this country. She also has brought a clear mandate to begin to address the solid waste disposal problem here in Florida. Something that the environmental community was particularly appreciative of was her institution of a two-year moratorium for construction of new hazardous and municipal waste incinerators, because she felt very strongly that there were too many unanswered questions about potential environmental and health dangers from these particular incinerators. That kind of understanding and commitment is going to serve her well as she begins to tackle both the reauthorization of the Clean Water Act, which will include provisions to protect wetlands in this country, and the reauthorization of the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, which is also on this Congress's agenda.
Teresa Woody, field representative of the Sierra Club in West Palm Beach, Florida. If approved by Congress, Carol Browner would become the second woman to hold the post of EPA chief. The first was Anne Gorsuch Burford under President Reagan. Our thanks to C-SPAN, the cable satellite public affairs network, for coverage of the Clinton-Gore press conference in Little Rock. And this is Bruce Robertson. With the North American Free Trade Agreement signed by the United States, Canada, and Mexico, the treaty is now on a fast track through Congress, bound for implementation. However, without some serious reworking, NAFTA remains not only inadequate, it is potentially a destructive tool, especially for the environment, says Rob Hausman of the Center for International Environmental Law. What NAFTA needs, says Hausman, is a strong NACE, a North American Commission on the Environment.
What it is it's intended to be a trilateral environmental commission that will pull in representatives from Mexico, Canada, and the United States. The best way to explain it is it's one of the parallel track mechanisms. If you recall, I'm sure most of your listeners have heard that NAFTA was going to come with a parallel environmental track. The NACE, if you will, is one of the parallel track mechanisms to address environmental concerns. What makes it especially critical at this juncture is, as the watch changes over to President Clinton, President Clinton has stated in a speech on October 4th in Raleigh, North Carolina, that NAFTA, as it currently sits for him, is unacceptable and needs to have certain supplemental parallel agreements to address the environmental concerns that arise. The NACE is a as a central, critical component to his plan to fill the NAFTA environmental holes.
Hausman says it is important to get moving on NACE now that NAFTA has been signed. Because of the so-called fast-track procedure, both chambers of Congress will vote on the agreement as a complete package, without any amendments. In other words, as a straight yes or no vote. No one will be debating fine points of NAFTA. If the agreement was solid, and most environmentalists believe it is not, then a straight vote would be desirable. However, as NAFTA does not address certain critical environmental issues, having a straight vote would be passing legislation that many feel is not only lacking but potentially dangerous. The only way to correct this, says Hausman, is to get busy on the NACE, a document that, in effect, represents the sum total of all the amendments NAFTA needs before it could become a sound piece of legislation. However, as Hausman points out, negotiating NACE at this juncture is especially critical because...
As the watch changes over to President Clinton, President Clinton has stated in a speech on October 4th in Raleigh, North Carolina, that NAFTA, as it currently sits for him, is unacceptable and needs to have certain supplemental parallel agreements to address the environmental concerns that arise. The NACE is a central, critical component to his plan to fill the NAFTA environmental holes. The oddity of it is here, because we're in the waning, usually called lame duck, but not so lame duck days of the Bush administration, the Department of State, which has primary negotiating authority for the United States, is negotiating the NACE that President Clinton will then be implementing and which his officials under his administration and potentially even Vice President Gore, he said that Vice President Gore may take charge of it in the United States, would then be dealing with, would then be working under that umbrella.
In other words, while NAFTA is complete and may not be changed by Bush or by Clinton, the North American Commission on the Environment is still in the construction stage. The Bush administration has ample time to make changes, changes that will be left for Clinton to deal with. Hausman says the separation of trade and environment goes way back to the very beginning of this debate.
When NAFTA first came up, when President Bush sought negotiating authority and they began the negotiations, there was a two-track system because President Bush said there is trade agreements which should deal with trade, and then we recognize there's some environmental ramifications of that, so we're going to have environmental agreements that will deal with the environment. Throughout the NAFTA process, environmentalists have been pushing, saying basically, hey, these things are so interrelated, there shouldn't be two tracks, that the NAFTA itself should deal with environmental concerns based on, driven by trade and increased economic development that NAFTA is supposed to bring to all three countries. What's happened, though, is there's been a hesitancy in the Bush administration, and I don't think it'll change in the Clinton administration, to combine these two. And I say I don't think it'll change in the Clinton administration because I think the process is too far along. And also I would say that other delegations, the Mexicans and the Canadians, may not have been willing themselves to combine them. But what was envisioned was two parallel tracks that would sort of work hand in hand.
Hausman says there are many objections to NACE now, chief among them, there are insufficient mechanisms to deal with bilateral issues. In other words, if there is a disagreement over environmental issues between, say, Mexico and the United States, nothing could be done about it under NACE until the issue had become a trilateral trade issue under NAFTA. You are disagreeing with your neighbor over an issue, but no resolution is possible unless you involve the whole neighborhood. Another shortcoming of NACE, says Hausman, is that it lacks enforcement powers for environmentally lax laws. There is no way to make the duty-free trading contingent on upholding environmental laws. Any one of the participating nations may produce goods in an environmentally destructive way and sell them cheaply on the open market. Consumers may unwittingly purchase the destructive products, if only because they are cheaper. Finally, says Hausman, the NAFTA-NACE setup now has another major pitfall.
The public participation element. All along the NAFTA negotiations, environmentalists have been pounding on the door trying to get in and have been basically, if not fully, left outside, unable to obtain documents. There was a big row over the inability to obtain the NAFTA itself for months. And the NACE was intended to ameliorate some of those concerns, to allow the public some mechanism to complain, basically, that in some way expanded trade is harming my environment and it should be addressed. As it's being negotiated now, however, the NACE doesn't have full public participation. Public participation in the NACE is basically at the whim of the NACE officials. And if it doesn't behoove a country to have something discussed publicly, they can block it.
Rob Hausman, an attorney with the Washington, D.C.-based Center for International Environmental Law. He says the best functioning NACE would be one that had powers to restore tariffs and other economic controls, such that products made using environmentally destructive techniques would have a heavier economic burden to bear than otherwise allowed under the free trade agreement itself. To craft a NACE to operate this way, says Hausman, the Clinton transition team must work now to ensure that Bush administration policies, thought to restrict a powerful NACE, would not hobble the next administration. This is Bruce Robertson. The United States has long been viewed as Earth's environmental watchdog. After Rachel Carson's seminal book, Silent Spring, called attention to pesticide pollution, passage of the National Environmental Protection Act, the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts, and the Endangered Species Act, among others, all highlighted the U.S. government's commitment to achieving environmental protection. At the time, the U.S. stood pretty much alone among industrialized nations in this sense. But Dr. Henk Fulmer says that was then, and times have changed. Fulmer is professor of economics at the University of Wageningen, the Netherlands. He is also president of the European Association of Environmental and Resource Economists. Fulmer says many Europeans no longer see the United States as environmentally friendly.
In former days, the United States was our example. It was our guide in environmental economics, especially when it comes to economic theory, environmental economic theory. People like, for instance, Arrow, and we used to study their textbooks. We also had the impression that environmental policy in the U.S. was ahead of the policies in Europe, but during the past 12 years, I think that the situation has changed. First of all, in Europe, environmental issues have become much more important, whereas in the U.S., environmental policies were viewed as an impediment to economic development.
As a result, Fulmer says the United States has fallen behind Europe in both environmental legislation and technology. But he says the changes in Europe were driven as much by necessity as by environmental goodwill. Fuel prices quadrupled in Europe during the 1980s, spurring a drive for alternate fuels research and more efficient automobiles. Gas prices in the U.S., meanwhile, stayed relatively stable, and so did the mileage efficiency of most American cars. The result? American automobile manufacturers lost ground on the world market.
American-made cars have no way of competing in Europe, nor in Japan or elsewhere. So if let's say, the gas prices would go up now, very quickly, I think, then there would be, then American industry would not have time to adjust itself to these high, to the new prices and consequently to the new standards. It needs time to develop these products, but I think it's time to do that now. Otherwise, the American markets will, or the American producers will lose foreign markets more and more.
And if there is a fuel crisis in the United States' future, Fulmer predicts even American motorists will abandon American-made automobiles. A situation Fulmer blames on the short-sightedness of recent Republican administrations. Vice President Dan Quayle led the argument that tougher automobile performance standards would threaten jobs and the economy. Fulmer says this is a faulty argument.
Sound environmental policy is a prerequisite for sound economic development. In the short run, I think it's possible to gain some economic advantages. It's possible to have a very short run increase in employment or exports or whatever. But in the end, I think you'll pay back and a much higher price than if preventory policies had been undertaken. It's much cheaper and much more efficient from an economic point of view to prevent than to clean up afterwards.
According to Fulmer, that distrust of environmental legislation is evident in the new North American Free Trade Agreement as well. Fulmer believes the agreement, as it stands, lacks uniform environmental rules for all three countries. Without certain amendments, he expects American industries will suffer once again.
There are two major problems which can be foreseen. First of all, there will be a relocation of firms from the U.S. to especially Mexico. It's not only for environmental policy, but it's in combination with low wages. So the combination of low wages and environmental policy will lead to an outmigration of firms, but especially of the establishment of new firms, new American firms in Mexico. Another problem which I foresee, and that's on the basis of the European experience, is that there may be imports of low-quality products, low-quality in terms of environmental quality, from other countries to the U.S.
Fulmer says the European Economic Community has developed certain safeguards to address this problem.
Denmark restricted imports of beverages in aluminum cans because these cans were considered to be harmful to the environment. Exporters from Germany and the Netherlands considered this to be an artificial trade barrier and took the case to the European Court. And the European Court decided that the Danes had the right to refuse these imports because the European Treaty says that protection of the environment is one of the major goals of European policy. Well, relating this to the U.S., to the NAFTA agreement, I can foresee imports from other member states to the U.S., and these imports cannot be protected because, cannot be restricted because there are no provisions for protecting the environment.
President-elect Bill Clinton has expressed concern about lack of environmental controls in the NAFTA. Fulmer says he believes the new administration does offer some new thinking, though he says it is not too late for American technology to develop alternate fuels or pollution treatment methods, for example. Fulmer says the only way American will report a clean bill of environmental health is if the U.S. federal government administers the treatment. Dr. Henk Fulmer is professor of economics at the University of Wageningen, the Netherlands, and president of the European Association of Environmental and Resource Economists. And that's our report on the Environment Show this week. We hope you enjoy the program. The Environment Show is a program about the environment, the air, water, soil, wildlife, and people of our common habitat. If you know of something happening in your area that you think we ought to know about, or if you have a question about this week's or any week's Environment Show, drop us a line, address your questions and your comments to the Environment Show, 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. For a cassette copy of this program, call 1-800-767-1929. Ask for the Environment Show, program number 155. Our piece on the European environmental policies, written and produced this week by Karen Kelly. The Environment Show is a presentation of National Productions, solely responsible for its content. Dr. Alan Shartok, executive producer. This is Bruce Robertson. The Environment Show is made possible by the J.M. Kaplan Fund of New York and by Hemmings Motor News, the national Bible of the old car hobby, monthly from Bennington, Vermont.